Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And love you. All right. Amen. How's everybody doing this evening? All right. It's good to see you here. Thank you for coming. Let me do this first. Fellas, grab those books and let's go ahead and pass them out if we could. All right. Well, I want to keep things kind of moving. I've got a book, and I want to get one to every family unit, all right? So if y'all would help me with that, if one person from a family would raise their hand, and that will help the ushers to get a book in every family's hand. This is a book that is based on Ephesians chapter 4. The title of the book is Welcome to Your New Vocation. Folks, when you got saved, I said it this morning, you were called into the ministry, and all right. And this book will help you to understand that God has put you into the ministry, and so. I know that book will be a blessing to you. Brother James Wilkins wrote the book. He was a teacher of mine back when I was in Bible college. I worked for him twice after Bible college in two different churches, but he's in heaven now. Went to heaven on Christmas Day of 2017, and I sure miss my mentor and my friend, Brother Wilkins. But I promise that book will be a blessing to you. If you would, take your Bibles this evening, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I don't want to tarry long. Not going to really preach tonight. I want to get right into going through the demonstration of leading someone to Christ. But I want to show you again, and I looked at it a little bit this morning. But I really want to kind of drive the point home. Folks, the truth is that during Paul's personal ministry, the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. The Bible declares that in Colossians 1:23. And we are still under the same command, if you will, under the same orders that Paul was under. And we have a job to do, and yet I've found this, that we have not really, we have lost our aggressiveness as independent Baptists. We have become kind of complacent, and I said this morning, but we got comfortable with passing out tracts, and passing out tracts is good. But can I say that's not enough? No doubt God uses tracts, and sometimes that's all you have opportunity to do is hand somebody a tract. Many a time I've handed someone a tract and just said, look, don't miss heaven. It'd be an awful thing. But there's many times that God opens a door for us, and we could, if we would take and be bold, we could get the gospel to them. Many times folks will listen. And I think, and again, I'm going to say many times, fear is the thing that keeps most of us from talking to people. And most of that fear is because we have not been taught how to win souls. And to me, now, I'm not trying to, take shots at something, but if soul winning is the most important thing, if it's the purpose of a church, and that's what Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So if that is the most important thing, then why aren't we teaching that? Where's our Sunday school classes on how to win souls to Christ? And folks, there ought not be any of us that don't know how. And I'm telling you, it is simple. And what we will be doing over the next few days, it may be a refresher course for some of you. I know many of you already know how to win souls to Christ, and maybe some of this will be a refresher course. But can I say this? I do just basic teaching on how to win souls. You will not stay where we teach from. As you grow in your soul winning, there's things that God will give you that will help you learning to illustrate the spiritual principles and learning how to. You remember back in Jude, it said this: "Of some have compassion, making a difference; others, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment, spotted by the flesh." Yeah, something like that. Save with fear. Thank you. Some folks, thank you, preacher. I appreciate that. Some folks respond to the love of God. Some folks respond to fear. And so it is up to us to do this, to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and to let Him lead us as we talk to folks. And we'll talk about all of that. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 20. Again, this is the plan that Paul used to train the workers that were under him. He said this: "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, taught you publicly, and from house to house." He said, this is what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to take the scriptures and just demonstrate, just show you how to take the Bible and lead someone to Christ. Secondly, he said this: "I taught you publicly." I believe that he did just what we'll do. He had classroom sessions where he taught both spiritual and practical principles of soul winning. And then he said this: "From house to house." That's just on-the-job training. Folks, listen, I believe with all my heart, I love the Bible handout ministry. Street preaching is great, but can I say God's plan is always this: house to house. It's knocking doors. And we have gotten away from doing that. And we need to get back, because that's God's plan of getting the gospel to every creature. Y'all say amen right there now. And so I'm just going to, what we'll be doing over tonight, I'll use Brother Kenny as the lost man. Good role play, amen. And he'll fit right in. But we'll just demonstrate how to win someone to Christ. I'll do this. There's several ways I know Brother James in street preaching, he's out there preaching, but then as yesterday, a young man he noticed was kind of hanging around, and so he just stopped and went over there and began to talk to the guy. God opened a door and opened the man's heart. So there's a particular way that you're going to use to approach a situation like that. Again, with the Bible handouts, it's a different situation. It's not like knocking doors, because the folks that come to the Bible handout have already expressed a spiritual interest. They have come to us. And to be honest, folks, that takes a lot of the intimidation out of soul winning, because they're already interested. And I tell folks this often in dealing with the Bible handouts: shame on you if you're not aggressive about getting the gospel to them. They came to you. It's a whole different thing when you're knocking doors. Sometimes they don't want you there, and they might let you know they don't want you there. Amen? I know this. I've been knocking doors now for over 35 years. It is rare that I've had somebody really cuss me out or something like that. It just doesn't happen. And I think a lot of times folks think that will happen when they're out knocking doors. I've been knocking doors for over 35 years, and I have not had that happen even one time. I've had some folks just not interested. They've let me know and just closed the door and really didn't give me opportunity to talk to them. And so, yes, there are going to be people that are rude, but come on, get over your victim mentality. Say amen right there. And let's be bold for Christ. And so the way that I will demonstrate tonight is just, I think we'll just deal with it from the Bible handout perspective, somebody coming to us and us having opportunity to talk to them. Is that all right, preacher? Okay, all right. So I'm just going to, let me do this. Those coaching cards, fellas, if you would. If you're 10 years old or older, raise your hand. Well, some of you don't have to raise your hand. It'll be obvious. But they're passing out a coaching card. And on that card, there are several things. Now, we need to want to get one to every individual. There's several things on that card. At the top, there's what I call approach questions. I don't always use the same approach questions, but approach questions do this. They just get the talk, if you will, to a spiritual talk. When we first encounter somebody, I don't think you ought to immediately tackle them asking about heaven and hell. It would be good if we just kind of talk with them. Do they need some more of those? There are more. I believe they've got them. All right. If you hadn't got one yet, raise your hand. Let's make sure everybody gets one. But it would be good if when we begin to talk to somebody, just, if you will, just be a friend to them. We have just a short time, and we want to, if you will, just engage with them. We need to build a quick relationship with them. I've found, especially in knocking doors and maybe out soul winning in other ways, that maybe the soul winning partner has a connection that I do not have. And so I always teach this. Listen, just one person do the talking. When you go, I would encourage you to at least go two by two, but just one do the talking, all right? If two of you begin to talk, it's going to cause some confusion and some chaos. And so we don't want to do that. But I found this, man, if Brother Kenny has a connection somehow with them, then I'm going to kind of back up and let Brother Kenny take over the conversation, all right? Because there's already a connection there. Maybe it's, you know, where they're from. Maybe it's a former job or something. Just if there's some kind of connection, I'll do that. Just to maybe form that quick relationship so that we have opportunity to move forward in talking to them about the Lord, all right? So if you would, we're just going to sit down here. I'm going to act like Brother Kenny just pulled up in his car. And normally what I do when we're at the Bible handouts, some of you have been on those. We have New Testaments that we pass out, and we will put tracks inside those New Testaments and a church track. And so normally what I'll do when I go to, when somebody pulls up, and I do this, it's not a must. I like men to talk to men, women to talk to women. I think that's a good policy, especially in the age that we're in. Folks, let's be honest, we need to use as much wisdom as we can in dealing with the public, amen? And so there's a lot of things that if we would just think for a minute, I think would be helpful. But again, we'll have tracts inside the Bibles. when somebody pulls up. Normally, I'll just walk over there. I'll, introduce myself, hand them the Bible, thank them for stopping, then give them the tract and let them know what church we're from. All right? So, hi, how you doing? My name's Scott. What's your name?
Caleb,
hey, it's good to meet you. Let me give you a track here. That's an invitation to church. We're from Emmanuel Baptist Church. Listen, do you go to church anywhere?
Every once in a while.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Normally I'm standing, but amen. So are you from around here, Caleb?
Yeah, I grew up here.
Oh, yeah? Where'd you go to school?
Red Creek.
Red Creek, okay. Yeah. I really don't know the area. You can probably tell I'm not from around here, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on then. So what do you do?
I'm an electrician.
Electrician, all right. Well, good. I'd heard that that stuff can hurt you.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, amen. Well,
you got to be careful.
Well, listen, do you go to church anywhere?
Not really.
Yeah? Have you ever thought much about spiritual things?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we all go somewhere, right?
That's exactly the point. We all go somewhere. And you know, the Bible teaches this. You're going one of two places. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Now, let me ask you, when you die, now don't do that. But when you die, where do you want to go?
Heaven.
All right. Hey, listen, has anybody ever taken the Bible and showed you how you can know for sure that you are going to heaven?
No.
Would you allow me to take a minute and show you from the Bible how you could know that for sure?
No.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Always listen. This is inevitable. Every time I get a pastor, you ask my wife, every time I get a smart aleck pastor.
Got him.
That wants to mess with me. And I'll rebuke him. Amen. Now, listen, I recommend this. Now, at the Bible handout, I will use the New Testaments that we give out. But I recommend this. Get you a New Testament. How many of y'all are Second Amendment rights people? Amen. Y'all know what I mean?
Amen.
I believe in conceal and carry. Amen. Hey, especially if you're out knocking doors. Can I borrow your Bible there, Brother John?
Yeah, watch it.
If you're out knocking doors and you walk up to the door like this, can I say, they ain't answering. Amen. They're going to be sitting inside going, Billy Bible is at the door. Shh. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a door. You can hear the TV playing, the dog barking. I knock on the door and all of a sudden everything's shh. And they're quiet. They think either I'm an insurance salesman or the police. Amen. So, but I would recommend, get you a good New Testament, all right? Something like this usually costs today around $20. But mine in the back has places where you can write people's names down once you've talked to them. Folks, it is huge. I also carry 3x5 cards with me. Man, make it a point to get people's name and address. Normally when they come to the Bible handout, they are open anyway because they've come to us. They're open with their information. Many times after I've talked to them, I'll just hand them a 3x5 card and a pen. Say, listen, would you write your name and address and your phone number down for me so that we can follow up on you as a church? We'd like to be a help to you, and we'd love to get your name and address. 99% of the time, folks just start writing. They have come. Now, when you're at a door or something, it's not always true. But you need to try to get their information, because in dealing with people, follow-up's the key. The majority of time, you're not going to get somebody to come the first time you invite them. But if you will go back and follow up on them and show them that you truly have an interest in them, then folks, many times you can get them to come just by going back and following up on them a couple of times. Obviously, it's not always true, but I'm telling you, a good percentage of the time, you can get folks to come if you'll follow up on them, all right? So I recommend getting a New Testament so that you always, and I recommend carrying it all the time, being ready. Isn't that what the Bible says, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, be ready always to give an answer to every man and ask of the reason of hoping. Man, carry tracts, carry a New Testament so that you're ready for that, all right? And by the way, while we're doing this, if you have a question, feel free to stop and raise your hand, and I'll do my best to try to answer any questions. As I go through this, I will kind of explain what I do, why I do it, all right? So, Caleb, you said that you'd allow me to take the Bible and show you how to be saved, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I always ask for permission. All right? It is not right for us to take advantage of somebody. Amen? And folks don't always want to hear. Folks, can I help you here? We're not in the arm-twisting business.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's not our job. And if somebody's not interested, then move on. Don't leave a bad taste in their mouth for Emmanuel Baptist Church. Don't do that. I mean, just move. Listen, can I help you here? God wants folks saved more than you and I do. And He is going to continue to work in their heart to draw them to Him. All right? So we don't have to be in the arm-twisting business. Our job, by the way, is not to save them. Our job's to warn them. Our job's just tell them. God does the saving. You and I can't save anybody. What we want to do is this. We want to make that. We want to get the message to them. We want it to be clear so that they understand our objective and what their response should be. All right? So I want to make things simple. By the way, I know normally as we talk to folks, we'll ask them about heaven and hell. But understand, salvation is not about heaven, and it's not about eternal life. Salvation is about the forgiveness of sin. Right. And that's what we need to deal with. See, the Bible teaches faith and repentance for salvation.
Yeah.
So we must help them to understand they have sinned against a holy God, and that they must go to Him for forgiveness, all right? And that's what we're trying to present to them, that they need to go to Christ and by faith ask Him for forgiveness, all right? So, Caleb, real quick, let me just show you a few verses so that you can understand that, man, God's in love with you. Listen, stop and think about this for a minute. He made you. He created you. He wants you in heaven with Him, doesn't He?
Yeah.
Yeah, He does. So I want to just show you four simple things from the Bible. If you look at the coaching card, there's four spiritual principles there that I'll go through. I will not always say exactly what's on that coaching card, but the points that are on there I am going to make, all right? First thing I want you to see is this. Caleb, over here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Notice I am doing this. I've got my Bible open. I'm going to point to the Scripture. I want Him to read it. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, the Scripture is what's important, not as much as what I say. I want Him to see the Scripture, all right? And so I'm going to do this, and we'll talk about this in teaching, but I want to use a conversational method. I'm talking with Him, not at Him. Amen? I'm not just trying to hurry through and talk at Him and tell Him what I want to. I want to talk with Him. This is a real person that God's in love with. And He deserves the time for me to take time and to talk with Him. and make sure he understands things, all right? So, Caleb, the Bible says this first, right here in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, that word all right there, who does that include?
Me.
You know what? It includes me. It includes you. It's everybody, isn't it? The Bible's clear that, listen, it says, for all have, look at this, sinned. You know what? You and I have done things we knew they was wrong, yet we did them anyway. Man, I remember when I was a little boy, I don't know, maybe 4 years old, and my mom was leaving to go next door, and I asked her, I said, can I have some cookies? She said no, and she left. So you know what I did?
Got some cookies?
That's exactly what I did. I got up on the counter. I got in a cookie jar. I got crumbs all over my face, crumbs all over the counter, and mom walks in. She said, Scott, you been in that cookie jar? What did I tell her?
No.
That's exactly what I... You want to know why? Listen, because I didn't want to get in trouble, and the truth is you and I choose wrong over right. See, that's when God said that we sin. The point he's trying to make is this, that you have chosen to do wrong in spite of God's love toward you, in spite of what he's done for you. The Bible says, for all have sinned, look at this, and come short of the glory of God. Hey, let's imagine that that ceiling right there is God's glory, that that's heaven. Listen, reach up there and touch that. Go ahead, reach up there.
I can't.
Why?
Because I'm too short.
That's exactly right. Listen, that's what the Bible said. You and I, because of our sin, fall short of heaven. That's all he's trying to get us to understand from this verse. You and I have sinned against a holy God, and we fall short of heaven because of our sin. You understand that?
Yeah.
All right. Second thing I want you to see is this. Over in Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, look right here, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, that word wage right there, you know what that word is? It's just simply this, it's payment.
Yeah.
God said there's a wage or a payment due on my sin, all right? And that death, he said, is not just a physical death. Have you ever seen the Bible where it talks about a second death?
No.
Yeah. Let me show you. It's not something spooky or mysterious. Once you see it, you'll say, okay, that makes sense. Back here in Revelation chapter 21 in verse 8, look at what it says. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, look at this, and all liars. Boy, that got all of us, didn't it?
Yeah.
It says this, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Listen, all he's saying there, Caleb, is this. Those folks that die in sin, and that's all he listed there. He said they're going to die a second death or a death to their soul. And that death, he said, would be in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Listen, do you know what that lake, what the Bible calls that lake of fire?
No.
Let me show you real quick. Right here. Yeah, boy, you responded so well.
Yeah, you like that?
Right here in verse 14, in chapter 20, in verse 14. By the way, the verse is just right there. It says this. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That lake of fire is hell. That's what the Bible calls hell. And the Bible says that you and I, because we have sinned against God, we owe God a payment of death and hell. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, understand this, it is a literal lake of fire. Man, you get thrown in a lake of water, you get all wet, don't you?
Yeah.
Get thrown in a lake of fire, what do you think will happen? Burn. It's an awful thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Bible says that that's the death that you and I owe God. Not just a physical death, but a death to our soul. By the way, once a person goes to hell, they're there for all of eternity. And I want you to understand, though, that that's not what God wants for you. All right? He wants you in heaven with him. He's in love with you. Think about this. He made you. He created you. He loves you. In fact, think about this for a second. You and I are not like a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow or something. See, they don't have an ever-dying soul. You and I do. God made us to fellowship with him for all of eternity. See, this is the thing. The Bible says that God loves you. He wants you in heaven with him. But you deserve to go to hell. But look at this. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Difference between a wage and a gift, isn't there?
Yeah.
Wage is something you work for and earn. But a gift is something that somebody gives you free. Y'all heard me this morning if you was here. I used that illustration of Christmas. Man, I like Christmas. You like Christmas?
Yeah.
You know why I like Christmas? Because my wife gets me stuff and it don't cost me nothing. I always do that. You know, I want to try to keep things, if you will, keep them light, though serious. And so I'll just say, listen, I like Christmas because my wife gets me stuff. It don't cost me nothing. Listen, there's something about a gift, though. To the person giving the gift, they have to pay the price. The person getting it, man, it's absolutely free. God said, I've got a gift for you. God's gift to us is eternal life. Understand this. He said it's through Jesus Christ our Lord that we get that gift. The reason he said it's through Christ is simply this, Caleb. See, not only did he die for our sins, but the Bible says he rose again. Look at this. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, he said it this way. He said, but God commendeth, or he proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, look at this, Christ died, what does it say?
For us.
For us. I want to keep him, I want to keep the person I'm talking to engaged in the conversation, all right? And so every once in a while, I'm going to stop. I'm going to point to Scripture, whether I'll ask them sometimes, listen, you read pretty good, don't you? I do that because I've talked to people that don't know how to read. And I do not want to embarrass them, tell, hey, read this for me. And now they can't read. And so I'll ask, listen, do you read pretty good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you read this verse for me. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what does it say?
Christ died for us.
Christ died for us. So understand that gift that God purchased for us, what was the price due?
Death.
Death. Christ died that death for us. See, when he died on the cross, you know the story of the cross.
Yeah.
Most folks in America know the story of Christ going and dying for us on the cross, all right? It's not like we're in a nation that people don't know. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have run into people that they have no idea. And so you do have to kind of back up and explain. But the majority of the time, that is not the case. The majority of people in America know the story of Christ and how he died on the cross. So understand, when he died, he was paying that death for us and literally purchasing eternal life as a gift from God. Now understand, listen, he didn't stay dead. You remember the story? You remember what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
He came up from the dead.
Right. The Bible says he rose again from the dead after 3 days. Have you ever thought about why the resurrection was important?
Not really.
See, this is the thing, Caleb. It proved Jesus had victory over sin and death. Thereby, he and he alone can forgive sin. Folks, listen, the Bible says this in Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, Jew first and also the Greek. So the gospel is what we're trying to get to. The gospel is this, the death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, there's a lot of religious folks that have died in the name of religion. Christ did not do that. He died for salvation's purpose. And so we want to help them to understand that when Jesus died, it gave him and him alone the power to forgive sin. And so many times, and I guess early on when I would talk to people, I would not mention the resurrection. And I really got convicted about that, because that is where the power of God lies. That's where it proves his ability and his power to forgive sin. And so it's important that we get the resurrection in there. All right? So, yes, sir.
I'm going to stop just for 1 second. Some of you guys know the church tracks that we have, I was looking at doing different tracks for the church. I was amazed. If you buy your own tracks, although we supply a bunch of them, but if you buy your own tracks, I want you to pay attention to one thing. They can be King James. They can be Everything's Right. You will find, and I found this repeatedly, of these new tracks. They're beautiful, glossy, just like this track that he handed me. They leave out the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I cannot tell you how many of them talked about the death of Jesus Christ and how he gave his life to pay the debt of your sins, and not one of them brought up the resurrection of Jesus Christ to give you victory. Not one. So watch out for that. That is a massive mistake to not have that in, and he just talked to you about why. And so I want you to pay attention for that. If you see it in any of the tracks we put out, now I try to make sure we read over all of them before they ever go out, but if you ever notice that in one of our church tracks that we have, any of the ones we put out, tell me immediately. I missed it and I didn't notice it. Tell me, because that is a vital part of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Because if he doesn't rise from the dead, our faith is in vain and you're yet in your sins.
Right,
and
right.
1 Corinthians 15. So that's why that's so important, and that's why I was so particular trying to find the right tracks that we use because of that. And so I just wanted to kind of take that on
there. I stress, and I will during the training, during the teaching part, the thing of the gospel. It is the death, burial, and resurrection. It is a must that we help them to understand. Again, because where we're taking them is this. I am getting him to a point that he needs to understand. He needs forgiveness of sin. And we've got to help him to understand prior to that, that Christ is the one that can forgive sin. And if we don't talk about the resurrection, then we're really not going to make sure that that's clear to them. All right? Amen? All right. So understand, Caleb, this is the thing. God purchased through Christ's death a gift for us. To us, it's absolutely free. But understand that what we need to do is this. God said, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's a must that we understand that, listen, he's the one that not only paid for our sin, but he rose again, proving again he had victory over sin and death. Thereby he and he alone can forgive sin. All right? You understand that?
Yes, sir.
I will stop and ask that many times. Man, I want to make sure that what I'm saying is clear. All right? And if somebody misses something, then I want to back up and repeat it so that they have a good understanding. Amen? And again, and when you're talking to folks, I've noticed this from time to time. They may have given me permission to talk to them, but they're distracted. They're not really listening. And I'm going to do everything I can to continue to say, hey, Caleb, look at this. I want to use his name. I want to use hand gestures. I want to point. I want to get him. I want to keep him focused. Why? I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit. But listen, who shows up every time we sow the seed? The old fowl of the air. And we've got to learn to shoo away birds. Amen. He's going to show up. And so we need to make sure that, you know, and let's be honest. Sometimes folks are just kind and polite. They said, sure, you can show me. But they're really not interested. They're distracted and stuff. And I'll say this again several times. Folks, we don't be careful about leading somebody in prayer. Prayer does not save anybody. All right? It is that repentance and faith. Now, I don't have a problem with leading somebody in prayer, but I'll be honest with you, and again, I'll talk about it later, but I want to give them opportunity to you know, tell the Lord what's in their heart. All right? So understand, man, God loves us. His Son came and died in our place. He rose again so that you and I could have forgiveness. And now, I want you to understand how we can get that forgiveness. Back here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible simply says this. Look right here. It says, for whosoever. Help me out. Who does that include?
Anybody?
Anybody. That's exactly. So really, we could put your name there, couldn't we?
I guess.
Sure. For if Caleb shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now, it says you shall be what?
Saved.
Saved. I want you to understand that word saved means two things. It means first, you've been forgiven of all your sin. Secondly, it means you've been given God's gift of eternal life in heaven. Again, we will talk about this, but folks, we use words that are just common to us. We use the word saved. The lost crowd has no idea what we mean by saved. So we need to back up and make sure that they understand what that word means, all right? And I'm going to get ahead of myself, but we'll talk about it, but we need to make sure that what we're saying is clear to them, all right? So, understand this. It simply says, yes.
I have a question along the way.
Sure.
I understand pointing to the Bible and getting them to read the verses and all that, but a question that might come up in their mind is, what authority are you?
Okay, you know, that's a great question, Brother Allen. I'm not going to deal with it right here. Obviously, a long answer, and I'll be honest, in 35 years, never had anybody ask me that. So, you know, once you tell somebody you're out from your church, they understand that you're what you're doing is what a church is about. I think most people in America know that. So, you know, I really don't. I've never had to deal with that. I just, when I introduce myself, I make sure they understand I am from an area church, and they understand normally that that's, you know, I'm just out doing what a church does. All right? Amen. All right. So, I understand. He said this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I have to be honest. First time I read that, I really didn't understand what calling upon the Lord was. So I backed up and just began to read that chapter again. And this is what I found. Look back here in verse 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. First, stop and think about this. Do you confess when you get caught doing right or wrong?
Wrong.
Yeah. Listen, God's caught us doing wrong. We're guilty. We've sinned against a holy God. The Bible said you and I need to be willing to confess that to him. He said, confess with thy mouth. Well, let's see, where'd it go? Here it is. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That's just saying that I believe Jesus is the Lord. He is the Christ, all right? So, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Look at this. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God's simply saying this. What he wants from you and I, Caleb, is to do this. from our heart, being willing to say to God, God, I'm guilty. I've sinned against you. And I understand I need forgiveness. God, I deserve to go to hell. But I'm asking you to forgive my sin and to save me. All right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's as simple as this, Caleb. The Bible says it's as simple as this. Just you calling upon the name of the Lord and asking him to save you. Listen, would you like to do that today? Wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven?
Yeah.
Would you like to pray and ask the Lord to come into your heart to save you?
Yes, I would.
Why don't we do this? Let's just bow our heads. I'm going to pray. Ask the Lord to help you to understand the things I've showed you. And then give you opportunity to just tell the Lord what's in your heart. All right? Now, let me say this. Thank you. I'm done with you. Yeah.
I didn't get to pray.
Yeah.
Threw me away.
Yeah. This is the thing, folks. Again, I do not have a problem with, asking. A lot of people are, because of nature, we're introverts. And many people have never prayed out loud. They are intimidated to pray in front of somebody. They don't know how. So I'll tell them first, look, I'm going to pray and then give you opportunity to tell the Lord what's in your heart. And so I'll pray. I'll go back through the gospel in my prayer. God, please help Caleb to understand he's sinned against you, that he deserves to go to hell, but that God, you're in love with him, that your son came and died, was resurrected so that we could receive forgiveness of sin through him. God, I pray that you'd help him to understand that he needs to just call on you and ask you to save him. Now, Caleb, go ahead and you tell the Lord what's in your heart. Now, if he hesitates, then I'm going to do this. Caleb, if you'd like me to, I can help you to word a prayer. But I want you to understand, words cannot save you. I am going to go through and explain. These are not magic words that following, repeating after me does not save anybody. We've got to make that clear, because there are a lot of folks that they'll just, they'll just pray right along with you, thinking somehow they prayed a magic prayer and that saved. We've got to make that clear that's not what we're doing. All right. Caleb, you need to understand. The words cannot save you, but it's from your heart talking to God and asking him for forgiveness of sin and acknowledging that, yes, you deserve hell, but that you want forgiveness. Do you understand that? All right. Then I'll just lead you in a simple word of prayer, but you pray this to the Lord, all right? And I'll just go through a simple sinner's prayer, okay? All right. Anybody have any questions? No? All right, everybody got it down pat? Okay, we'll call off the rest. No. All right, so tomorrow night we will do this. We'll begin to go over just some biblical principles from the Word of God and to help us to understand why we say the things we say and how to say things that we say. But I want to do this for right now. I want you to just grab a partner right there beside you, all right? If somebody, don't literally grab them, okay? Don't do that. But I want you to work with a partner, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to simply introduce yourself. Hi, my name's Scott. What's your name?
John.
John, hey, it's good to meet you. And listen, I am from Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I just want you to do that much, all right? Because I have found this through the years. Man, just introducing yourself, even to somebody you know, is sometimes awkward. And if you can't overcome that much of it, you'll never get to the rest of it. Amen? So let's just do this. If you would, get with the partner real quick. Y'all get with the partner real quick. Tomorrow night, this is what will happen. We'll come in here We'll have an abbreviated song service. We'll get right into the teaching. It will be approximately 30 to 40 minutes. Then we'll go right into a practice session. Now this, what I normally the practice session will be about 30 minutes also. And this is what I want you to do. Fellas, don't work with your wife. And ladies, don't work with your husband. I've found this to be true through the years. Many times in doing practice, the dominant partner will tend to take over. And the other does not really get to practice, all right? And so we don't want to do that. Y'all say amen right there. So I'm going to ask you, and it would be helpful also, those of you that know how to win souls, find somebody that does not know how. If you're not sure, if you feel like you're awkward at it, maybe you've never won someone to Christ, then find somebody that is a soul winner and partner with them. That will be a huge help to you in working with the practice session, all right? And if during the, I said it this morning, I believe in Sunday school, three different times during practice sessions, we have had folks saved where the soul winner actually led their partner to Christ. And so, listen, if during this time, during the teaching, during the practice session, man, if you're not saved, take advantage of this. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to get saved. Amen? All right. Thank you for your attention. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. All right.
Amen. All right. There's your introduction right there. So I hope you enjoyed tonight, and tomorrow will be even better. All right. So don't let me down.
Thanks for the pressure.
Amen. No pressure. You're fine.